So we are getting close to the end of our series on the parables of Jesus. Today we're going to be in Matthew chapter 25. In fact, next week we will also be in Matthew chapter 25. And I encourage you to go and open your Bibles to that chapter. I am not going to reread that parable. Annabelle and Neva did a fantastic job doing that for us earlier in the worship. But if you want to open it so you have a reference point as I talk about this parable and what it means, so that you can look at it and fact-check my way of relating the story, I would encourage you to do that. Maybe you want to underline or make notes in the side of your Bibles, which I always encourage people to do. Brothers and sisters, I know that many of us are hurting right now. Some of you are carrying grief. Some are weighed down by an illness, maybe disappointments, or even fear of the future. Some are just bone tired. It seems as if we don't have enough energy to get through the day, let alone the week. And when we hurt, we may wonder about certain questions, like, what does God expect of me? Can I give enough? Am I giving enough? What if I fail as a child of God or a disciple? Also, sometimes the lens through which we read Scripture or the lens through which we view God can compound and multiply our pain. And when we come to the parable about the talents, about bags full of gold, these enormous sums of money that is entrusted to servants, if we're not careful, we may hear it like a final exam. As if Jesus is saying to us, produce results or else. And that particular reading only makes the burdens of life heavier. But I want you to hear something this morning. I do not believe that Jesus is trying to scare us. I believe that he is trying to free us. This parable is about trust, not terror. It's about faithfulness rather than fear. And I want us to hear that story because fear can rule over us like an unforgiving, unrelenting taskmaster. And sometimes we give in to our fear. And it may push us so far that we may even wear masks to cover up our fear and allow fear to masquerade as faithfulness. Sometimes we call it being careful or being cautious. And sometimes we may even call fear being holy, but Jesus doesn't. In this parable, the one who looks the most careful ends up being called the most unfaithful. So I want us to be clear that God doesn't honor fear. God honors faithfulness. And I believe that is the crux of what Jesus is trying to get across to us in this parable. Jesus says that this parable represents what it's like to live in the kingdom of God. And he tells this story, and Jesus says that there is a master who hands out talents, right? And we have to ask ourselves right at the outset, what is a talent, right? Now, for most of us, we've probably read talent in the sense of a private possession, a gift, a skill, or literally a talent that God has given us as individuals. And God is expecting us to use our gifts, our talents, in a way that shows faithfulness over fear. But I want to share with you this morning maybe a different way of looking at this parable, that maybe we should not individualize it, but maybe we ought to think about it in a communal sense. That when Jesus says the master hands out talents, we should not think about skills or ability, but a talent was a form of money, massive money. One talent equaled 15 years of wages. One servant gets 5 talents, which means he gets 75 years of pay in advance. That is reckless generosity. Can you imagine going to your boss and saying, I need an advance in pay? Well, how much? A day, a two, a few hours? 15 years. Or 75. I want you to pay me 75 years in advance. What kind of response would you get? And that's exactly what seems to be happening here. I think the point is that God has entrusted his people with far more than they realize. And that it's helpful for us to read this in a communal sense. That Jesus is talking about, example, for Israel. Israel was given certain talents, certain treasures. They were given the Torah. They were given the temple. They were given the promises of God. And they were to take those and they were to bless the nations. Remember what God said to Abraham. And Isaiah says they're supposed to take these treasures, these very expensive gifts, and they are to be a light to the nations. We have been entrusted with kingdom resources and opportunities. Jesus gives his people, corporate and personal, the gospel. I believe that the talent here are treasures of the new covenant, the good news of Jesus crucified and risen, the presence of the Holy Spirit within us, the scriptures that tell us the true story of the gospel and the true story of the world, and that we have a vocation as a people of God, as God's holy people, to be a light to the world. So I read this, and I'm convinced that Jesus is telling it in a way that these aren't private possessions, gifts, or talents, but they are communal gifts given for the blessings of the nation. The church has been given the gospel, the spirit, community, mission, and every one of us have been given opportunities, relationships, and resources. And here's the thing. He uses these large sums of money because God is not stingy. He's extravagant with his gifts, with his treasures. Well, then we move on to faithfulness and what that looks like. The first two servants don't play it safe. Risk. They put the master's wealth to work. And here's the key. The master, when he comes back, is not thrilled because they've made him a lot of money. He's thrilled because they trusted him enough to act boldly. They recognized the value and the importance of what they had received, and they wanted to multiply it so that they could share it. As Thomas Long reminds us, the parable is about the risk of faith. The faithful servants don't hide what they've been given. They step out with it. And God honors that. Notice something. The servant with 5 and the servant with 2 receive the exact same praise. Well done, a good and faithful servant. Now notice, the master doesn't compare. He does say to both, well done, enter into the joy of your master. And I think the point is this, that God honors faithfulness, not comparison. And that God gives us, as a church, according to our abilities. It's not a one-size-fits-all. God delights in faithfulness according to capacity, not in comparison to others. But then there's the third servant. No, he hides it. He digs this big hole and he buries the trust. Why does he do that? Here he's been given 15 years worth of income. And what is he to do with it? Well, he decides to react in fear. But here's what I want you to know about fear. Fear is not neutral. Fear distorts. As Tim Mackey points out, that the servant's very first words betray him. Master, I knew that you were to be, I knew you to be a hard man. You're harsh, unmerciful, demanding, in a way that causes terror in the hearts of your servants. Where does that come from? Where does he get this idea that his master is a hard man? Here he has just given to all three of them very generously. Why would he think, after receiving such a valuable gift, that his master is some type of harsh or hard man? Well, because fear invents false stories about God. Fear convinces us that God is harsh. Fear convinces us that the safest option is the holiest option. If I'm going to be holy, I need to be, don't take any risk, lay it safe. Fear convinces us that burying the gift is somehow the faithful move. But Jesus says fear is wicked and lazy because it refuses to trust the generosity of God. Fear isn't the same as faithfulness. And I want you to notice that God honors faithfulness. Look at the master's response to the first two servants. He says, "You've been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many." Did you catch that? 5 talents equals 75 years worth of wages. And he calls that a small thing. That's just a small thing. I'm going to give you much more. In other words, the master isn't focused so much on results as he's focused on trust. Faithfulness with what you've been given, whatever that is what honors God. And the reward? Not a grade, not an exam, not a pat on the back, but an invitation. Come, enter into the joy of your master. The point of the parable isn't a test. It's whether we trust God will take a risk given the treasures that he's given us, and whether or not we will enter into his joy. That's the point. What does that mean for us today? It means that the church can't bury what God has entrusted us. We can't bury the gospel inside our walls. We can't bury the Spirit under business as usual. We can't bury our calling to love our neighbor, to do justice, to welcome the stranger, to feed the hungry, or to forgive our enemies. You see, faithfulness doesn't mean survival. It doesn't mean playing it safe. It means risking love, risking generosity, risking mission, because we know that the master is good and that he is generous, that he is not a hard or harsh master. So he invites us to enter into his joy. God honors faithfulness, not fear. Faithfulness takes risk because it trusts the generosity of the master. Fear buries gifts because it believes lies about the master. God does not want us to live in terror. You remember the quote from 1 John Chapter 4, it says, "Perfect love casts out fear." The love of God in Christ has already gone into the outer darkness for us. The cross of Christ proves the master's love. The resurrection proves his joy. He has already carried our punishment. There is nothing left to fear. Nothing left to fear. So the invitation here is to lay down your fear. Take up your trust. Risk love. And enter into the joy of your master. The invitation is, don't be afraid. Take a risk. And come and enjoy the joy of the Lord. That's the gospel. That God in Christ has already taken the outer darkness upon himself so that we don't have to. He's cleared away the fear. What's left is the freedom to be faithful. So here's the question. What are we afraid of? Do we trust him enough to take a risk? A risk to do what Jesus calls us to do, some of the most radical things he calls us to do. And do we step out in faith because we know the Master is good, the Master is generous, and the Master honors faithfulness over fear? Perfect love, my friends, cast out fear. And because we know that our God is good, because we know he is generous, we do not have to live in terror. He loves you. He loves us. He has been generous with us. And if he has called us to do something, he will supply what we need. So let's step out and do what he's called us to do. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, remind us that you are not a harsh master. Keep in front of our eyes that you are generous and kind, that you have entrusted us with the gospel and your Spirit and the joy of being your people. Let that compel us, motivate us. And forgive us, Father, when fear takes over. And forgive us when we bury your gifts instead of trusting in you. And free us from the lies that paint you as a harsh God and master. And open our eyes to see your overflowing goodness towards us. Father, help us to risk generosity. To risk being the faithful church that you have called us to be. And may our faithfulness be small or great. May it be public and not hidden. Let it always be grounded in trust in you. So lead us, Lord, into the joy of our Master through your Spirit. Keep us faithful, Father, until you come. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. If you would, please stand with me. Now may the God who entrusts his people with every good gift fill you with the courage to live by faith and not by fear. May the Lord Jesus Christ, who went into the outer darkness for your sake, welcome you into his joy again and again and again. And may the Holy Spirit strengthen you to risk love, to risk generosity, to risk faithfulness, so that the kingdom of God may shine through you. My beloved brothers and sisters, go in peace and share in the joy of our Master. Amen.